Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus.
Today's scripture is a Christmas scripture from a very familiar passage from the Old Testament found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and following. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." This passage really describes the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, it talks to us about a child being born and a son is given. What a great description. That's sort of like the human side. The child is born, but there's also the divine Son of God. A son is given. And then, of course, he's in control of everything. So that talks about governments, talks about some of the mysteries he has. He's a counselor. He's the mighty God. He's an everlasting father. He's going to take care of us as a father takes care of his family. He's a prince of peace, and he will be in charge even to the end of the age. And so these are just wonderful descriptions of our Lord Jesus Christ and the functions that he has now and will have here in the future with all of us as we are in his presence. What a great time to worship God and thank him for all his blessings and benefits. What a great time to get together with other believers and just worship and praise his name for all his goodness and all his grace and all the love that he's bestowed upon each and every one of us. May the Lord bless you throughout this Christmas season.
Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, 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 joy. Jesus Christ was born for this.
He hath owned the heavenly door.
And man is blessed evermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this.
Good day, this is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. I would like to continue to share our mission moments during this Christmas season, specifically the vital ministry of Mission Go in the West African country, Sierra Leone. The two areas I would like to share are the ministries to children and young adult education. At the end of the Civil War in Sierra Leone in 2002, it is estimated that only 15 to 20% of the teachers remained in the country. The literacy rate was less than 49% in 2024. We continued working to address the critical educational needs in communities that struggled with resources and access to education. The focus was to meet the need for physical education while building relationships which would allow us to share the gospel. Mission Go established a certified school for girls in 2019 called the Institute Place Secondary School in Mokanji. This school allows Christ-centered education while meeting the legal standards. Many students come from a wide variety of non-Christian homes, yet they are hearing the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ on a daily basis. This year, in addition to IPSS, a new primary school for boys and girls was opened, providing the strong educational foundation to set our students up for success in the area of studies for future careers. Our school follows the national curriculum, yet with the exception of phonics. This phonetic approach to reading and the inner inclusion of Bible classes and biblical memorization are additions. The land for the school was gifted to Mission Go by a local. The family of a neighboring village shows a great interest because of the positive impact that Mission Go has had in the community in supporting the needs of the people. Each year, our ministry in Sierra Leone graduates over 600 students in our high schools throughout the country. These students go to various provinces, and we provide evangelism, evangelist teachers, church planners, nurses, and parental training. The impact of a solid biblical education is limitless. Mission Go has people on the field today serving to connect with the people for showing the love of Christ, supporting the care and education of these young people to become citizens in this country with a solid biblical education. Please continue to pray with us for these people and the needs of these people and this country. This Christmas season, we would like to make available a booklet about peace, a devotion series by Robert Strand. The Greek word eirene is pronounced eirene, meaning peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, or to be set at one with yourself again. Maybe we have reason to despair when a historian has pointed out that about 85% of all human history concerns itself with war and conflict, personal, national, or worldwide. But in this cynical, weary, war-torn, strife-filled world, there is a positive message in regards to peace and the author of peace. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is Isaiah 9:6. Peace has come even into the midst of war. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. To order your copy of the booklet Peace, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, Postal Code L2R707, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour.
we wish to bless your life with these messages. For any more questions about messages or information on this broadcast, you can email tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Feel free to write to Tammy directly as the producer.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco. It's a sermon about Christmas. I know you'll enjoy this sermon very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. This is how the hymn writer Isaac Watts expressed his feelings for Christmas. Believers everywhere celebrate the blessed season with songs, joyful songs of hope and peace, songs of God's love for mankind and of Christ the Savior's birth. This is a happy season, and I wish for each of you listening today the warmth and happiness that knowing the Christ of Bethlehem brings. On this Christmas Sunday, I turn to the book of Galatians for God's view of Christmas. I hope it will help prepare us to worship and experience God's best during this blessed season. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, I read, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." In this verse, we see truth that will help dispense the tinsel and trappings that captivate so many at this Christmas season. What is Christmas really about? What is the basis for the happiness and joy that this season is supposed to bring? The Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, grasps the true essence of the Christmas season when he writes to the Galatian church. First, in the fullness of time, or when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. The first thing we see here is that Christmas was God's idea. It was planned by God. It took place according to his plan. When time was full or complete, that means at just the right moment. Christmas was planned of God, and it took place right on time. We see then that God was in charge. Christmas speaks of the sovereignty of God. God had a plan for the world. He worked out that plan according to his own will. He sent Christ into the world at just the right moment. Israel had waited long for the promised Messiah. They had plenty of time to realize their own helplessness, to overcome their sin. All of their religious ritual ended only in failure to keep God's laws. This surely pointed to the need of a Savior. The time was right theologically. The time was also right conditionally. Israel was dominated by the great Roman Empire. This created many problems, but it also meant many conditions conducive to the spread of the gospel. Rome had achieved world peace by its policies of brutality and appeasement. This gave a measure of stability to government. The scholar Kenneth Wiest has summed up other conditions of the time when he writes, quote, "Roman roads made travel for missionaries easy. The universal use of the Greek language made the speedy propagation of the gospel possible. The earth stage was all set for the greatest event in the history of the human race, the incarnation, sacrificial death, and bodily resurrection of God the Son." Unquote. Then, too, prophets of Israel had foretold of Messiah's death by methods unknown to Israel. In Psalm 22, David, by God's Spirit, wrote, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it melteth in the midst of my bowels. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." These and many more prophecies speak of Messiah's death by crucifixion, 1,000 years before the time of Christ. Now, crucifixion was not the method of capital punishment of the Jews, but it was of the Romans. Thus, prophecies of Scripture proved absolutely accurate and dependable and were fulfilled in Christ. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. We see then that every detail that was predetermined was fulfilled by a sovereign God. Then, too, the text talks not only of God's sovereignty, but it speaks next of Christ's divinity. For it says, God sent forth his Son. That little baby born in the humble Bethlehem stable and laid in a manger for a cradle was different from any other child ever born. The prophet Isaiah had declared 750 years before Christ's birth these words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah spoke of the dual nature of Messiah. He would be born a child, but he would also be a son that was given. In Christ, both these were fulfilled. Born a child, Christ was human, but he also was the Son of God, for Scripture declares God sent forth his Son. This is why Christ was so different, human and yet divine. Humanly, he became hungry. As divine, he fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. Humanly, he slept in a boat. As divine, he arose and calmed the raging wind and waves of a storm by his words, "Peace, be still." As a man, he died on the cross. As God, he arose the third day triumphantly. Christ was child and son, human and divine, man and God. This is what makes the birth of Christ so significant. No wonder angels were excited. No wonder they declared that through this child born in a stable, peace would one day come to all the earth. For Bethlehem's babe was also God the Son, the Prince of Peace. Paul declares of Christ that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5. When we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate more than a sentimental story of a little baby being born to a poor family in impoverished circumstances. We really need to celebrate the coming of God's Son into this ruined world. This says that God knows all about us, that he cares for each one of us, and he has done something extraordinary, great, and wonderful by his coming. Christ was the divine Son of the living God. Then thirdly, we have in the text humanity, for it says made of a woman. Here is the Christmas story that we know so well. Mary, a young Jewish girl, was the woman chosen of God to bear the Messiah. Luke 1:30 says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." We shall probably never understand fully the mystery and holiness of Christ's birth. Isaiah the prophet had declared, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," Isaiah 7. Joseph, the man to whom Mary was engaged to be married, chose not to believe Mary's story about the child. And Matthew 1 tells us he was minded to put her away privily, verse 19. This clearly shows that he knew the baby was not his, and only after a special revelation from God did he finally believe and take his place in the Christmas story. Christ was born of a virgin. Angels from God announced his birth, not to the rich and famous of his day, for they really weren't interested in God or what he was doing, but shepherds, lowly men, men who lived close to nature and who believed in nature's God. They heard the angel's message, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They believed God's revelation, and it says they came with haste and found the babe lying in a manger. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had seen and heard, as it was told unto them. What joy Christmas brought to these men. Friends, Christmas means more than Santa Claus and decorated Christmas trees with gifts. It means that we need to come humbly to Christ, the Son of God, as the shepherds did, and see in him God's great gift to us. It means that we believe what God is saying, and that we experience a life-changing relationship with God that moves the focus of our lives from ourselves to a life of praising and glorifying God, as the shepherds did. Finally, the text says that God's Son came to redeem them that were under the law. Here we see design or purpose. God had a purpose in sending Christ. The purpose was not just to be a good example. Christ was that. It was not just to reveal God's true nature. Jesus surely did that. He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," John 14. In other words, the Father is just like me, loving, forgiving, caring, and so forth. What an adjustment many people have to make in their concept of God. The Father of the Old Testament is like the Son of the New Testament. The real purpose of Christ's coming was to redeem mankind. Bethlehem was to be inseparably linked to Calvary. Revelation 13:8 speaks of Christ as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This means that at the beginning of man's creation, God had Calvary in mind. The question may be asked, Does man need God's redemption? Some years ago, an evangelist was invited to speak to factory workers in a company canteen. After his message, he invited questions. A worker stood up and bluntly said, "We don't need religion. We have everything we need here. We are paid well. The firm provides recreation. We are served food, and we don't even have to do the dishes. Why do we need your gospel?" The evangelist pointed to a large poster that he had seen on entering, and it read, "1,200 knives and forks have been stolen from this canteen in the past month. Those wishing to use the canteen from now on must bring their own cutlery. Does man need God's redemption?" Surely a quick look around at the murders, immorality, pornography, and hatred and war is convincing enough. Christ came to redeem mankind. Redeem means to buy back by paying a price. Christ paid redemption's price and gave his life an offering on the cross for man's sin. Peter declared that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Paul says that Christ is the one in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This is what makes Christmas meaningful. It speaks of God who loved man and gave his son to pay for man's sin. At this Christmas time, will you say with the hymn writer, "Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee." May God grant you a blessed Christmas season.
We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Remember to order your copy of the booklet Peace, a devotion series by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. For your copyright, December's booklet Peace Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario Postal Code L2R77, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, Zip Code 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Any other questions about these broadcasts, you can write to Tammy Campbell, producer, Canada's National Bible. That email address is tjcampbell@missiongo.org.